Hi, friends. Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to remind you that the doors to my women's writing community are closing soon on October 31st. I only open enrollment a couple times a year, so if you've been wanting to reclaim your writing time and put pen to page and get the support of a community of women writers from all over the world, then this is your nudge from the universe. Come join us. You can find out more over at my website, NadineKennyJohnstone.com, and the link is in the show notes. So let's dive into today's episode. This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story. The other day, I was at a gathering of women, many of whom I didn't know, and we were introducing each other. And as I was telling them about how I had founded WriteWell, which is my community for women writers where I offer workshops and retreats, I started talking about my dear community of women writers and how we meet together every Monday for a writer workout. And I talked about how it's the surefire way to get people unblocked. And the woman that I was talking to was like, "Ooh, what do you do in order to overcome writer's block?" And I was like, "Do you have 5 hours? Because I have many ideas and tips and tricks that I have gathered over my 20 years of writing and teaching writing. I have lots of thoughts on this, and I have seen what works and what doesn't." And so I thought, what better than to share the top 8 ways that I have seen to get unblocked than here on this podcast with you. So that's what we're about to do. This is really interesting because I've seen the following tips and tricks work in several different settings. I got an MFA in creative writing. Gosh, I started my program back in 2005, finished in 2008. So over 20 years ago is when it started. And I got to see there in that community what helped us overcome writer's block. And then I taught creative writing as a professor for 15 years. And I got to see there in that environment what helped people overcome writer's block. And I've taught at writing conferences all over. And I've coached women writers and I've seen what's worked for them. And then also I have worked while I was in grad school at Chicago Magazine. I got to see what happened in a really high stress publication environment. And of course, in my own women's writing community, I've seen again and again and again what has helped women overcome writer's block. And so I realized that no matter the person's age, background, genre, level, doesn't matter, the following things work to get us unstuck. It's interesting, this thing, writer's block, because it's something that we think about as this really difficult void that can last for a long time and that can feel really daunting and depressing. And so it's gotten this stigma. And what I like to think about is not really about this overwhelming block, but what are the tried and true ways to even avoid it in the first place? These are the ways to avoid the block. And then I also have ways that, should we still get blocked, here are the ways to get unblocked. But really, it's all about avoiding the block in the first place. So I have a metaphor, an extended metaphor that I'm going to carry out throughout this entire episode because it really helps me think visually about this whole process. So I like to think of the writing process as going for a drive. You're going to your desk to write. You're going to have a writing session. It's like going for a drive. And you'll see all the ways that this feels parallel in a moment. So say I get into my car and I don't have any destination and I've not told anyone that I'm going to meet them anywhere. I just get into my car and I go for a little Sunday drive. As soon as I encounter any sort of obstacle or barrier, I'm going to turn around. The stakes are not high at all. I'm not committed to this drive. I have not told anyone I'm going to meet them somewhere at a particular time. I won't be standing anyone up. And so I'll just turn around. No biggie, nothing lost. When we sit down to the desk without any of the following things that I'm going to share with you, and we have no support, it's like that Sunday drive. We might still write, and we might even end up writing something beautiful. But for a regular, sustainable writing practice, that's not going to set us up for success. And so these are the things that I have found to set us up for success. The very first two are accountability and deadlines. So if we come back to the drive and we say, I'm actually going to plan a gathering with friends, and we're going to meet every week at a particular place at a particular time. And I'm even going to have someone ride with me. We're going to carpool together. I am much more likely to show up for the drive, especially when I like the people and I like where we're going and I like the ride itself, right? The same is true for our writing. So here are all the ways that accountability, community, and deadlines have worked in my experience. In graduate school, I was a part of a cohort. We had to turn in our writing every week. We had to be workshopped regularly. So if we didn't show up and do the work and turn in the work, then not only were we missing out on an opportunity, but we also weren't there supporting the other people, and we would suffer. We would all suffer. So right away in graduate school, I already saw the miracle of community and deadline. And then I got out of graduate school and suddenly there was no one holding me accountable. So I emailed two friends and I said, hey, I am going to write 15 pages every 2 weeks and I'm going to email them to you every other Friday. If you don't receive something from me, you have the right to berate me. I wanted to make sure I had someone holding me accountable. Then when I was working on my memoir, I had a book contract, which was very necessary because I decided to sign a contractual agreement to write that book during the first year of my son's life when we were also moving cross country and I was starting a new job. I would not have written my memoir had it not been for that contract. So I had an editor waiting for it. I had a deadline. And then in the years since, I have always relied on accountability and deadlines. So I created this very podcast so that I could have a producer holding me accountable and listeners that were expecting an episode regularly. And I knew that was the way that I would get myself to really get the bravery to ask to interview some of my writing idols and to share my wisdom here, my teaching wisdom. I knew it would be my accountability for sharing some of my stories and reflecting on my personal life. And so I created my own source of accountability. It's also why I regularly send out my newsletter. There's a built-in audience and a regular rhythm. Okay. So when it came to creating my women's writing community, this happened in 2020. It was the pandemic. I was living outside of Chicago. It was still wintry in March. I was cold and lonely and sad and feeling like all the structures that had held me accountable for my creative practice were gone. I was no longer performing at live lit events. I was no longer going in person to teach. And I thought, okay, I can't be the only lonely person here. So I emailed all the people that I had met along the way at conferences and whatnot. And I invited the writers to join together with me on a Monday at 12 Central so I could walk them through an MFA level craft talk and then give some prompts and share some published models. And then we would write together for around 20 minutes and then we would have optional sharing. And I got this idea for a writer workout because I'm a pretty active person. So for years, I've been going to regular exercise classes. And I found that much more than going to the gym on my own, the classes always kept me accountable. I would always show up for them because I made friends with the other people. They expected me to be there. I expected them to be there. It was at a certain time, and so I had to show up or otherwise the doors would be closed. And so it kept me moving regularly. And I thought, I had been thinking for years, why don't we have the same thing for our writing? And this was even back before anyone was doing anything virtually. So then when the pandemic hit, all of a sudden I thought, oh, well, this is perfect because now it's not just that people from a local area can join together. It could be writers from all over the world and we can join together. I had no idea that 5.5 years later, we would still be going strong, or that countless women from that community would publish books, or that hundreds of essays and articles and short stories and poems would be published as a result. I had no idea the magic that we were about to co-create. And here we are. And so meeting together every Monday at 12 Central gives that built-in accountability, community, and deadline. It gives a destination, right, for this weekly drive we're taking together, this weekly writing practice. We are expecting you to show up and you're expecting us to show up and we're excited to see each other. And it holds us to keeping our writing as top priority. The other thing that kind of helps out too is that at the end of every month, we have read out louds where it's like an open mic where we share our work. So we're expecting each other to read our stuff out loud. And when we know we're going to read something out loud, we work hard to make it better. Also, in our online platform, we have a great website where we cheer each other on and we share submission opportunities. It also encourages us to try to get our work published. And that's another deadline. If a magazine says we're accepting stories until the end of next month, it puts your feet to the fire to produce and to submit. Okay, so the first two are accountability and deadlines. And then to go along with this drive metaphor, we are much more likely to go visit our friends, say if they live about 20 minutes or less away. If I said to you instead, oh, hey, can you commit to driving 3.5 hours, 3 days a week? You'd be like, that's a lot. And right away you'd get overwhelmed and maybe shut down and go, no, I don't think I can commit to that. When you decide that you are going to have a regular writing practice and you set the time bar low, 20 minutes or less, your brain goes, I can do that. No problem. And it immediately unlocks because it's like, it's so accessible. It's so feasible that your brain goes, oh, no problem. I can do that. And, or it's like, okay, well, I can't screw up things that badly in 20 minutes. Or it does the opposite. It's like, oh, well, I've only written for 20 minutes, so I can't be held to the expectation that it's going to be that good. It does something to the brain where it lowers the stakes in a way that gets you producing the writing. So tip number three is to set that timer low, 20 minutes or less. In Writer Workout, we always write for the last 20 minutes of the class before there's optional sharing at the end. And that I find is the perfect time. And sometimes we might do two shorter chunks of time, anything that keeps it short and accessible. I have a couple of writer friends, and we made a goal with each other that we were going to write for 15 minutes every single weekday. And because it's only 15 minutes, my brain always goes, oh, I can do that. I can squeeze that in anywhere. And we text each other as soon as we finish our 15 minutes, and we do it at all different times of the day. And so if I haven't done my 15 minutes and I see that one of my friends has and they've said it on the text thread, I'm like, oh crap, I really have to do it. Like, they're doing it. I can't be the only one not doing it. So this is the built-in accountability. And this is actually something I was thinking about adding to my women's writing community on our online platform. I am thinking about doing that 15-minute a weekday challenge and having a spot on there where people can track, because there is something about tracking that really propels you and builds momentum. I even do this for my reading and my meditation. I have a place where I track it, and the more I see, the more I do. So it's like, wow, I've read, you know, however, 5,000 pages this year. Ooh, that makes me want to keep on reading. Or I've done 178 breathwork sessions this year. Ooh, that keeps me going. That makes me want to do more. And then the fourth step in this metaphor is about deciding what you want to wear to this gathering. So you're about to take a drive to go gather with friends, and you look in your closet because you don't want to show up naked. And what I mean by this is that when you show up at your desk, you don't want to show up naked. You want to have a list of scenes or ideas that you can pull from. So in the notes section on my phone, I have a list of all the essay ideas that pop up on any given day. I just put them in my phone and they're all there. So when I sit down for a writing session, I can look at that list and go, which one of these feels like the right fit for today? I also sometimes ask myself, and I'll ask the community when we meet for our writer workouts, I'll say, what wants to be written today? And you look at that list and you see which one creates the pull or has energy. Same way as you'll look at your closet and think, what do you want to wear today? And then you'll choose an outfit. You are not going to, a half an hour before it's time to go, you're not going to go, you know what? I'm going to go get some fabric and I'm going to sew a brand new outfit. I have to design it all. It's too much work. It's too much decision. It's the same with your writing. Having a list of different scenes to already choose from makes you show up at your desk prepared. So we've done the first four. We have accountability. We have deadlines. We have setting a realistic timer. And then we have having a list of writing ideas to pull from. And it's kind of like, okay, you've got the gathering that you're going to, you have the time, you have the place, you have a short drive to get there, you've put on your outfit, and now you're ready to go. You are in the car, just like you are at your desk. And now, of course, it's how do I get there? Meaning, how do I get to the final destination? How do I get to a finished product? This is what also stops people up. Like, if they've gotten through all of the other things and they get here, this is what stops them. They're like, oh gosh, I finally got to my desk, but I don't know how to write this. Well, it's kind of like when you say, get into the car and you say to yourself, oh, well, I've only had my license for a short period of time. Who am I to make this ride? You feel maybe not so confident, or you think to yourself, you know what I need to do today? I need to build a brand new highway. Or you go to yourself, okay, I'm just going to start driving, but I have never been to this place and I'm not even going to put it in my GPS. Blah. Of course, you would be overwhelmed if that were the case, if any of those situations arose. It's the same with your writing. So once you arrive at your desk, then you need some help along the way. And there are a few ways to overcome this. Essentially, what you need is Google Maps. You need a GPS. You need to punch in the address and be told where to go. So the way to think about this is that you can have the straightest, most direct route possible, or you can have the scenic route with which still gets you there, but doesn't get you lost. So I liken the scenic route to looking at some inspiring published models. Every week when I get to write a workout, I always bring in a brand new piece of writing from a published author that I think is beautiful. And in our 5.5 years together so far, I've never repeated the same exact lesson. I pride myself on this. Every week is different. And so I'm always pulling from things that I'm reading recently. And I bring in a short excerpt so we can look at how someone else did this beautifully. And then we can take those tips and tools and we can use them to put our own spin on them. We're not copying. We are simply saying, how did they do this from a craft perspective? What are the techniques they used in terms of dialogue? How did they develop their characters? How did they describe setting? How did they structure this? And then we're going, oh, okay, how do we use those techniques for our stories? So it's like going down a scenic back road, getting inspired, feeling good, right? And if we go, okay, that can work, that's one way. The other way is to think about prompts or constraints. And I would liken this to the fastest, most direct route. Maybe it's not super scenic, but it gets you there. When I think of this, I think of prompts with constraints that get to a very specific moment. So if I said to you, describe your mother's mother's right hand, your grandmother's hand. Boom. Okay, here we go. You don't have to make a ton of decisions because that prompt has a lot of limitations and constraints that gets you really specific and really focused. You're not sitting there going, well, what do I write about? Or if I say to you, write the scene that you're wanting to write that you plucked from your list, but I want you to tell it in 10 sentences. And the first sentence is going to describe the setting, and the next sentence is going to have a sound, and the next sentence is going to include some dialogue, and the next sentence, you get the idea. 10-sentence stories are one of my favorite ways to get directly into the writing. Another one is when I use prompts with constraints, I do first, last, worst, best. First, last, worst, best. So I'll say, okay, write about a first kiss, first drive, write about a last time you ever saw someone, write about a worst job you ever had or worst injury, write about the best romance you've ever had, write about the best job you've ever had. We get really, really specific. And yet another way to think about this is once you've got what you want to write about, you can do a visualization. And it's almost as if this would be like looking at the directions in the GPS on your phone, but looking at it from the overview perspective. And you see the whole route and you know exactly where you're going to go. And it's very clearly mapped out for you, rather than just following next step by next step by next step. You're looking at the overview. I do scene development visualizations in many of my writer workouts because it gets you seeing your story in your mind like a movie playing out, and you see all the details super, super clearly. You see what the setting looks like. You see what the sensory details are. You see what the characters are wearing, how they're standing, how they're gesturing. You see into their heads and their hearts. You see their motivations. You see their actions and gestures. You hear their dialogue. You see moments where something shifts and changes. And then you see the aftermath of how things are left. You see it all play out like a movie. So then by the time you get to your 20 minutes of writing, you are so full of ideas, there's no way to be blocked. And then you're just brain dumping onto the page. And I use this technique all of the time because it works. That brings us to kind of a summary of really the how to get the words on the page. So like I said, it was getting inspired through published models, which is like taking the scenic back road, or it's prompts with constraints, which are the fastest, most direct way into the writing, and or it's visualizing, like seeing the overview of the GPS. So you're writing, you're writing, you're writing, you're writing, you're driving, you're driving, you're driving, but then you get to an actual barricade, an actual roadblock. This often happens when people are encountering emotionally triggering material, or they've gotten to something that is like outside of their comfort in terms of craft technique. Like maybe you're someone who could describe setting all day long, but dialogue really trips you up. And so you get to an actual block where you don't know how to keep going. I find that with a lot of the creative nonfiction writers I work with who are writing memoirs and essays, oftentimes when they have to revisit difficult material, that's when they'll really feel the block. And when I interviewed Abigail Thomas on this very podcast, you should definitely listen to that episode if you have not already. She gave such helpful insight that I think of all the time. And that is that when she encounters difficult material, she gets to it via the side door. The example she gave was that when her daughter had breast cancer years ago, she had a really difficult time writing about that material. Abigail did. Then one day, the dog came walking out of the room with one of the daughter's wigs, because the daughter had been going through chemo, needed a wig. And something about the dog with the wig allowed Abby to access the material. The wig was the access point. And by this sidewinding way, she was able to approach the cancer via the dog with the wig. So when we're thinking about how to approach the difficult material, we need to think of the sneaky side door. So we might think of objects that we could start writing about, like, oh, we're just writing about this object. And then it brings us to the more difficult material. Or we might try different POVs, like we might write in second person, which is you, or third person, which is he, she, they. Any type of switch from the norm might get you into that material. You can also try different forms. There's something called the hermit crab essay, which is an essay that takes the form of whatever borrowed shell, essentially. So you've read pieces like this where someone's writing a story, but they're writing it like a how-to or like a recipe. Or some really creative ones are like writing a story by way of a Craigslist ad, Amazon review comments. You know, there are interesting prose form ways to get into the material. I remember when I was trying to write the story of meeting my husband, and it was such an odd synchronistic kind of way that we met that I was like, how do I even write about this? And I tried one way, tried the other. Eventually, I wrote it via a how-to, and that second person unlocked the material. That piece ultimately got published, and then a version of it that I turned back into first person ended up in my first book, my memoir of This Much, I'm Sure. But I couldn't write it until I found a way to access it sneakily, which was via a how-to. this idea of writing through the side door is like taking a detour. It seems like you're going way out of your way, but it gets you there eventually. It's just a different path. So these are some really helpful, tried and true ways to get us to our destination, which is ultimately to have written, to have words on the page, right? That's what we're getting at. We want to have completed the drive, meaning we want to have completed the writing session and to have actually written. I have found throughout all these years of watching my own creative process and supporting so many women along the way that these really are the techniques that work. And then as a bonus, when you arrive at said destination, celebrate. We do this all the time in my women's writing community. So sometimes with writer workout, we have challenges. So during the summer and the winter, when it's a little bit harder to really stay committed to our writing because they're such busy seasons, I'll do challenges where if you show up live to write or workout, say 10 out of 12 sessions, then you automatically get your name in a drawing to have a free coaching session or a scholarship to a longer class, or everyone who completes the challenge gets to be part of a write-a-thon where we write together for 2 hours. And all these little wins and the way that we celebrate each other in class, where at the beginning of every class, I'll say, you know, what are your wins for today? We cheer each other on in the chat. We say congratulations. All of these ways of celebrating make us feel validated and make us really settle into the moment and soak up the moment of having achieved something that feels really, really important to us and is really important to us. So whenever someone posts on our community website, and we have a spot called the Brag Corner where we get to brag, bragging is very encouraged there. Every time I see yet another person say, oh, I got my piece published here, or I got nominated for a pushcart prize or what have you, I'll ask, how are you going to celebrate today? That is of utmost importance, is the celebrating. Okay, my friends. So to recap, here are the 8 different things that I mentioned: accountability and community, deadlines, an accessible short amount of time to write, having a list of scenes or ideas to pull from, having published models to inspire you, having prompts with constraints, doing a visualization to see your story play out like a movie, and then accessing the material through the side door. And then as a bonus, of course, celebrate. So if you would love to have some support with getting unblocked, come join us over at my Writer Workout Women's Writing Community. It is the delight of my weeks. It is the place I love to be, and you will be surrounded by a supportive, amazing group of women writers from all over the world. You can find out all that info over at my website, NadineKennyJohnstone.com, and the link is in the show notes. Someone who helps me stay accountable all the time is my dear producer, Michelle Rado. Thank you for everything you do. And remember, everyone, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next time.